next on All Access.
It's intercepted by Revis.
It'll be a big smile on my face when I get that good welcome from, you know, the Bronco fans.
It does feel like you're up there kind of just showing yourself off to coaches and they're taking notes. You don't know what they're writing, good or bad. It keeps you off balance, and I think that's the whole point.
Just got done flying riding the Blue Angels at 18 Hornet, and it was an experience of a lifetime.
Randy, hit it!
Who's coming, who's going, who's available? It's one of the most exciting times on the NFL calendar as the Patriots and the league dive into free agency. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. Aqib Talib is gone, but the Patriots replace him with a Hall of Fame caliber player and Darrelle Revis. Dan Roach kicks things off with a look at the state of the Patriots right now.
Broncos have beaten the Patriots in the AFC Championship 26-16.
Not too long after the Patriots said goodbye to the 2013 season, Bill Belichick and company turned their attention to putting together the 2014 team.
Shaken up on the play, Patriot defensive back Aqib Talib.
And as free agency began this week, the Patriots suffered a seemingly tough blow when one of their key members on defense, cornerback Aqib Talib, signed with the Denver Broncos. However, the mourning period for Pats fans was oh so brief when hours later, the Patriots grabbed arguably the best cornerback in the NFL off the market.
Fires it downfield for Randy Moss. It is intercepted by Revis.
To pick up Darrelle Revis. That was one of the only corners I heard about coming up as a kid and watching on football. So, I mean, he's been around a long time, you know, and he knows what he's doing. And I think that he can knock down, you know, one side of the field for us and do everything that we need him to do as a player. So to come in on a one-year deal, he's going to have to earn it. But I think he's done that year after year, and we're going to be okay.
Yes, the Patriots and five-time Pro Bowler Darrelle Revis agreed to terms on a two-year deal.
It's intercepted by Revis.
Meanwhile, one other thing to keep in mind, the NFL calendar is now different, and that means the NFL draft will take place now May 8th, 9th, and 10th instead of its usual April. As for the Patriots, their first-round pick, 29th overall. For the CBS scene here in Foxborough, for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Roachie, thank you very much. Well, time now for our first panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And what a roller coaster week this has been when it comes to free agency. The Patriots lose Aqib Talib, they pick up Darrelle Revis. Let's start with Revis just coming here to begin with. Did you see this coming?
Absolutely. This is exactly the way I saw it all unfolding. You know, Mike said he didn't see it coming, but no one listens to me. I work for the team. I was stunned with the contract. I thought it was a big contract that Talib got in Denver. I thought it would have taken something like that maybe to get Revis. Obviously, he's looking for the one-year deal. Perfect. I think, to me, it's like Christmas Day. This is the best player the Patriots have ever signed from another team. In the prime of his career, mm-hmm. I think the best defensive player in football, and you get him, you know, on a one-year, $12 million deal, this is a really exciting time.
Before I even ask you about his contract, and we'll talk about his contract, what does he do to the secondary?
Well, let me start with this. I'm shocked that they did this.
Okay? I am too.
Because I really believe they went into free agency with the intention of bringing Aqib Talib back. I think that's what they really wanted to do, Steve. But when the Denver Broncos took the bidding for Talib to a level they weren't comfortable going because of Talib's injury history, they had to go to their contingency plan, and wow. I mean, when you talk about a contingency plan, they don't get much better than this. I think they were at a pretty high level last year with Aqib Talib. I think this even puts them a little bit higher and gives them a little bit more guarantee, if you will, on what you're going to get. Think of it like a stock. I think Aqib Talib was a good stock who offered a really high return on investment.
When he was healthy.
But maybe a little more volatile than the Darrelle Revis stock, which you have a pretty good assurance of what you're going to get there.
All right, let's talk about his contract. Originally, everybody was euphoric, one-year, $12 million contract. Now it turns out to be a two-year, what, $32 million contract when it's all said and done because it's 20 years and $20 million in his second year. Surprised about all this?
Yeah.
When it first came out, I thought they stole the guy.
It's a little less exciting to me for that part. I still love the idea of a one-year rental. The one-year $12 million, that's basically what the contract comes down to. But the problem with me is I felt like the Patriots would have control. They could have the potential to use that franchise tag in year two. Now they wouldn't be able to use that until year three. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get to year three. It's a $20 million bonus. There is very, very little chance that the Patriots would pick something like that up and have, I think, $25 million or some odd, for a cap hit. So it's a little less exciting, but to me it's still well worth it for all the reasons that Mike talked about, how he transforms the defense and you have an upgrade over a guy like Tlaib, and that was pretty good to begin with.
I have no problem with the contract. I think it gives the Patriots the ability to sort of spread the cap hit out. I think that's important to mention. Instead of $12 million on the cap on a one-year deal, now you save $5 million on the cap for this year. And for Revis, it protects him.
Right.
He wants to make sure that next year he has a chance to hit the market. Now, I would say this, though, real quick, Steve. I don't think it means that he can't necessarily come back here on a long-term deal. Reminds me, in a way, of what the Patriots did last year with Aqib Talib. With a one-year deal, let's just make sure that this marriage works. Hey, it looks good on paper, but let's have a year working together, and then maybe we can get a long-term deal together.
Right,
I still think that's possible.
It's funny, that's the part he's excited about. That's the part that worries me. Talib didn't get re-signed after that one-year deal.
Fair enough.
Don't go anywhere, because we got a lot more to talk about, including Vince Wilfork as well. We'll be back with much more Patriots All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We'll check out how one Patriot player is spending his offseason.
Ready, hit it!
And later, we sit down with two second-year Patriot players who took different routes to being drafted.
It's not about running 40s or doing drills in front of coaches. It's about coming to camp and earning your spot.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam. Celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. Segment of Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of service to their clients.
Pulled from the pages of Patriots Football Weekly is this interesting nugget. In addition to Tom Brady and Ryan Mallett, the Patriots have four players on their roster who played some quarterback in high school. They are linebacker Jamie Collins, receiver Julian Edelman, running back Stephen Ridley, and long snapper Danny Aiken. For the most up-to-date Patriots analysis, check out the latest edition of Patriots Football Weekly, available on newsstands now.
One thing I learned again last year from doing three games and seeing kind of a continuum was that week in and week out, the Patriots are the best coach team in the league by far. There's a pretty wide gulf between the Pats and everybody else when it comes to applying taking the talent and applying that to functional and tactical work on the field.
Wow, big words from one of the Patriots' biggest rivals. So a pretty interesting perspective. Welcome back to Patriots All Access, presented by GEICO. That was from the Combine, where Bill Polian, along with 1,000 other members of the media, descended on Indianapolis for this annual NFL event.
It's a great way for people to come to one central location and see 30 coaches, all these 300-plus players.
This young man here really quick. You got that one right. He's the best that we got here today.
It's an ideal situation, and it gives them something to write about the next 3 months.
There's a record-setting 85 underclassmen here at the Combine. And if all of those players were to get drafted, you're talking about a third of the whole draft.
Extremely competitive person. At the same time, I want to be a great leader as well.
It's a good group. I mean, there's a lot of good players across positions, and hopefully we'll be able to find some players that can help our team next season.
know, when you think about various players in the draft, you know, look for guys that have multiple skill sets. Intelligence, drive, discipline, work ethic, all those things you really can't measure until you really get up close and personal with a player.
We showed you some of the sights and sounds of the combine, where draft-eligible players come to be evaluated. Jackie Britton sits down with two players the Patriots drafted just a year ago, who followed different routes to Foxborough.
You've gone to the combine. You have not yet. You're both here in New England. Logan, I'll start with you. Just what is the combine experience? What does that mean?
Well, I think you kind of summed it up. It's not a perfect science. With Deron, obviously, I think they missed on one. But the combine is an honor. It's definitely what you dream of. You know, you grow up watching it. I remember I used to watch it during the week after school, see the reruns, see guys run fast 40s and stuff like that. So it's definitely cool to be on that stage, you know, in front of the biggest lights.
Well, Deron, you guys obviously were both teammates at Rutgers, same, you know, rookie class this year. How did it feel just to, you know, to not be invited, but the fact that you were still able to be drafted by the Patriots and be here with some of your teammates?
I mean, not being invited, it hurt a little bit, but it also pushed me a little further and a little harder because I wanted to prove myself. And then still being drafted in the third round is a blessing, and all I can do is just thank Coach Belichick and his staff, because they gave me an opportunity to play in a draft and so on.
Deron, hey, congratulations.
As someone who participated, is it kind of awkward having to wear those clothes and just be on display in front of everyone?
Yeah, it does feel like you're up there kind of just showing yourself off to coaches and they're taking notes. You don't know what they're writing, good or bad. It keeps you off balance, and I think that's the whole point of it. The days are long, and you don't know what's next, and you got to shake a lot of people's hands and look a lot of people in the eyes. You got to be on your game, and I was mentally drained after the combine, definitely.
Well, Deron, you know, knowing what you know now after playing, you know, a season with the Patriots, what would you tell yourself back then that you know now?
It's not about running 40s or doing drills in front of coaches. It's about coming to camp and earning your spot. You look at a lot of guys who do great at the combine testing, and then when it comes to football, it really can't translate. And I'm a guy that likes to play football rather than run 40s and do all the jumping. So I would just tell myself to just keep being patient, keep getting better at football, and your time will come.
Patriots All Access is presented by GEICO.
Before free agency kicked off, the Patriots re-signed the Who Man to a new two-year deal. Maybe in anticipation of the new deal, Michael had a chance to fly with the Blue Angels.
Up we go. All right, there's five and a half, there's six. Five and a half, coming a little more to six. Keep pulling, keep pulling, keep pulling.
Just got done flying riding the Blue Angels, 18 Hornet, and it was an experience of a lifetime. It was unbelievable. Just everything about it, from the takeoff to the landing. Something I'll never forget. Pretty cool day.
Well, the Who Man certainly having the time of his life flying with the Blue Angels. Back now with our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Verrillo and the other shoe to drop. We talk about Darrell Revis, but now we got to look at Vince Wilfork, because do you think there's a tie-in here?
Pretty big shoe there.
Pretty big shoe. An enormous shoe, but that Vince asked for his release.
You know, I'm not sure that it was really a cause and effect here. I think that the stuff with Wilfork, obviously he's not going to be playing on an $11.6 million cap hit. I think the sides have been talking about this a little bit. I don't know how long, but my guess would be for at least a couple of weeks, and I think it just may have been coincidental that we found out that Vince is sort of interested in a release the same day that, you know, all the news with Rebus signing comes down. I'm not sure it is a cause and effect. Vince is not going to be back for that number. And if Vince insists on getting that number, he's probably going to have to go.
Yeah, I think this was going to happen with Wilfork one way or the other. It just sort of timing-wise happened at the same time that the Rebus deal came down. Steve, here's the point, and I think it's oftentimes missed. When you're putting 53 players together in a locker room and you bring one in and make him one of your highest-paid guys, how does that affect the others in the room? How is that viewed? And I'm not talking necessarily specific to Wilfork in this case, more the Julian Edelmans, who for 5 years has been sort of fighting for this contract that he's going for. Maybe to a little bit of a degree, Wilfork, when if he's being approached and asked to make a concession on his contract, how do you feel about that? There is a human emotion here, a human element that probably deserves to be mentioned.
And is that unusual when it comes to the Patriots, that they bring in somebody from the outside and now make him one of the highest paid players on the team?
Yeah, well, I do think it's not something that they do on an annual basis. But I say this all the time. We talk about philosophies with the Patriots, and I think people like to paint them in a corner. They do this, they don't do that. And I think Bill Belichick has been very consistent in that. He looks at everything on a case-by-case basis, and he analyzes the situation. Mike talked about with Rebus, this is a special kind of a guy. I don't think they would have just done this and brought a one-year, $12 million deal for anybody. I think they feel this is a special guy who has Hall of Fame talent, and they think that he can make a difference on their defense, and they made the move.
Will the Patriots go out of their way to try and convince Wilfork to stay?
I think that they probably will. I think there's some affection there between the organization. I think there's a lot of respect for Wilfork in this building, and I think there should be. I think not only on the field, he's been an exemplary player, but I think he's a pillar in the community as well. And I don't think you just dismiss those guys. That said, Steve, this is all about Wilfork to me. And if he wants to dig his heels into the ground and say, this is what I want to play for, I think it's probably best that the sides part. I'm not necessarily saying that that has to happen. I don't want it to happen because I think Mike and I would agree. He's one of the guys that we really respect in that locker room. He's a great guy to talk to. We feel like we know him a little bit after 10 years, but business is business.
When have the Patriots in these negotiations ever really let sentiment get in the way, Steve? I don't think they'll be trying to convince him. I think they'll just lay it right out on the table and say, this is why we're asking for what we're asking for. This is why we think it's right for you. But we also respect that every person is different, and that might be right for some people. That we'd love to see you finish your career here, have a Vince Wilfork Day, have a Patriots Hall of Fame Day where you're celebrated for everything you meant for this organization. For some players, sign me up. I can accept this concession. For others, we're all wired differently. It wouldn't be enough, and I sense that Wilfork might be on that other side.
What else do the Patriots have left to do? And especially a lot. If Vince walks.
A lot.
Yeah, well,
think about
that. I think they already had some depth issues in the interior defensive line. We saw that last year. I think they need a defensive end. They need, a veteran pass rusher that can get after it a little bit because you don't want Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich playing every down. You need guys that can catch the ball. You're going to need a tight end. Julian Edelman situation bears watching. Mike, you brought up that earlier in terms of the Rebus deal, if that sends a message to him. They still have some work to do. A safety? Absolutely.
And I'll just add this. Bill Belichick always says three parts of team building: free agency, draft, trades. This is only one part of it. Watch the picture evolve. Interior offensive line is another one I would add as well.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks,
what
Steve,
a roller coaster week this has been. Well, that will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everyone. See you later.